It's quite an exciting age to be alive, isn't it? What a world. You don't know what's happening next. In the light of that, I this morning would like to preach to you on the subject of the two Adams. The first Adam, maybe you didn't know there was two. The Bible makes a distinction. As a matter of fact, the Bible divides, and God divides the human race right down the middle of those who are in Adam, the first Adam, or those that are in the second Adam, or as Brother Pritchard used to always correct me, it's the last Adam. Not the second, he said it's the last Adam. Still stays with my heart. And so that's how the world is divided, that you are either in Adam or in Christ. You're either in the first Adam or in the last Adam, but that's where God will put you today if he was to speak to us. That's how the Lord sees the world, as those in Adam, those that are not, and those that are in the second Adam. So every person in this building today is either in the first or second Adam. That's quite a thought, isn't it? And so I want to draw the contrast between the two. Both were sent by the Lord. Adam, God breathed into him a life-giving substance of some kind. In the second one, the second Adam, of course, was not created. He was begotten. There's a huge difference in that. He was begotten, but he was provided for by our Heavenly Father. Adam, you might say, according to Genesis 1:26, that he said he made everything and gave dominion over everything that was made. And so the Lord made the first Adam over everything, over all creation, and Adam, you might say, was the first Lord. You know, and when you go to England, you know that there's Lord this and Lord that. Lord this, Lord that. And I remember one time with Bill and Diane McCauley, we were at the nursing home, and she said to this elderly gentleman who was propped up in the bed, she says, "Do you know the Lord?" "Lord who?" "No, do you know that? Lord who?" He kept saying, "Lord who?" Well, you might say that Adam was the first Lord. He was the first man. He was that was Lord over creation. He was given creation to look after. So God had made him Lord, or we might say God has made him king. King over the whole world. The whole world was his kingdom. He was the father of all. That was the influence and the ability that he had. He was over all. But then when we come to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, we find that the warning came that if they were not to eat of the forbidden fruit in the garden. And we find that the first Adam introduced something that we never had before. It didn't exist, and it's the reason for why all of the problems in the world that we have are due to this, that he introduced, are you ready? Sin. That's why you can't go out at night on dark streets. That's why you see people who have punched or killed or hurt or molested. That's why there's dishonesty, unkindness, cruelty in the world. It all came because somebody made a choice and plunged our world into sin, which we had never known anything about prior to that. And the warning was, you shall surely die. Now, I've always struggled with that because God says, you shall surely die, and 800 years later, they're still living. And then I realized that the life of the body is not anything in comparison with the death of the soul. There's the difference. Adam died in his soul right there and then, even though physically there was still some years to live out. So death is just being banished from God's spirit, from God's presence. For God is the author of life. And when that life is taken away, And I wrote here, and the moment that the communication was cut off between Adam and God, that was the end of his life. Back then, it was eat and die. Remember the one, eat and die. But now, because of this second Adam, how we praise the Lord for that, it is now eat and live. Eat and live. Say, how do I know that? John chapter 6, verse 51. This is what Jesus said. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. He's the man from heaven. There's a difference. Not the man from the garden, but the man from heaven. So that one may eat of it and, what words? Not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give him for the life of the world is my flesh. Years ago, I went to a funeral. Actually, I was at a funeral yesterday. I'm a better man for going to a funeral. Always. I was at Wayne Stilling's funeral yesterday. And you hear things that you need to hear. I got a different perspective and some encouragement, and I thought, you know, I'm going to be here someday. You know, and I thought, I wonder what they'll say about me. You know, you can go to a wedding, go to a anniversary. You know, it's good, right? It's party time. It's always a good time. But you don't get touched the way you do at a funeral. So that funeral yesterday touched me for different reasons. But this other funeral that I was talking about, I went to the wrong one, first of all. A funeral's a little informal when they don't mention the person's name. And so finally, I realized this couldn't be the same person. It doesn't sound like them at all. So if somebody said, no, you're in the, So anyway, I got to the right one, and I'm sitting there, and it was quite formal. There was robes, and there, the mitres, and there was a pageantry, and all the rest. And so I'm sitting looking, waiting for something to happen from the front, which most of us in the non-liturgical settings, it's all coming from the front. Anyway, this was, and all of a sudden, I heard this kind of, I am the resurrection and the life. It was just this booming voice. He that believes in me shall never die. Whoa, man. I have never forgotten that because I couldn't see where that was coming from. And of course, it came around the end back of the pew and then finally down the aisle to the front. What a declaration. I am the resurrection and the life. That's the second Adam. How we thank the Lord for him. How we thank the Lord. So it was then eat and die, but now it's eat and live. You must eat of the bread that comes from heaven. He says, that is my flesh. So now we have the first sin that came into the world. The first sin. So devastating was it. Somebody said even this, if you want to know how loving God is, look at the cross. If you want to know how angry God was, look at the cross. Because it speaks into our condition. You see, the second man, the first man blew it with such devastating effects. The second man, instead of yielding to sin, and we know this about Jesus, that he who knew no sin became sin for us. There was a difference between, I'm contrasting. The first man introduced sin, but the second man never yielded to sin. Adam in the garden yielded to sin. He didn't have to sin. It wasn't inevitable. He was given a choice, and he chose wrong. He chose sin. And so Jesus comes, he who knew no sin, a sinless person, that's who he was, and that's what he did. So the first Adam brought sin upon us and brought sin into the world, but the second man, who was without sin, became sin for us. That's a mystery in itself, but I accept it as such, and I believe it. Some people think it's unfair that Adam's sin should affect the rest of us. Right? How come what he did back there is affecting us? How come they don't just deal with him and why bother with us? Well, we have his nature now, that's why. But more than that, I always remind people to remember that the very day Adam fell, God had a Savior prepared. He knew that it wasn't a fix-up, say, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Somebody sinned. No, he knew that would happen. And Adam fell, God gave us a Savior and a way of escape. Right from the beginning, there was a way of escape. God made a way for Adam and all his posterity to be saved. There is no sense blaming Adam because we were all given the route out. It's funny how, you know, it's like when you're witnessing to someone and said, you know, Jesus, you can come to Jesus. And they say, well, it's like a door. I said, I don't know if I have to go through that door. I might have to go through the door of my own choosing. And you say, yeah, but the building's on fire. Well, I don't know why there has to be just one. There could be several doors. But no, I don't. Why? I kind of resent the fact that you make me want to have to go through that door. And I say, listen, the building's on fire. What do you care? But the stubbornness of man's heart will say, I'm not going to accept this Savior. I don't know why you're blaming Adam, but I'm not going to accept this Savior. So what was God's answer? God's answer he gave us another man from heaven. Two men have affected the entire universe. And when you walk down the road, you'll know that some are in Adam, or they're the first Adam, or they're in the second Adam. But God gave us another man from heaven, and through him, all of us could be saved just by accepting life. Just by accepting life. Through the disobedience of one, many were made sinners. But thank the Lord that through the obedience of another, many are made heirs of eternal life. And righteousness is now ruling and reigning in our hearts. And so I would say to you this morning, turn away from this first Adam. Get away from him. He is not the answer for us now. We have another man who came from heaven. He came from heaven for our sake. So Adam has brought all of the misery. Wherever you show me misery, I will show you sin. Sin came. And the Bible says in Romans 5, and death through sin. It's because of sin. Sin is a devastating thing in our lives and our marriages. It came by Adam's disobedience. Did he have to? No, he didn't have to. And just like Jesus chose not to sin. That's what made him qualify. But it came by Adam's disobedience and Adam's transgression. He disobeyed. Sin came, and death came by sin. And then we have John 11:25. And what is John 25? Well, I'd already read it. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. So the very most that's going to happen to me from eating too much, perhaps, pastry over the Christmas thing, is I may just... And there will be a spasm of some kind as this body's kicked off. And I enter in to life. And to enter into life. One brought death and the other one life. Because of Jesus. If it were not for Christ, we would know very, very little about resurrection. You think about that. What would you know about resurrections if it was not for Jesus? You're thinking of verses, right? We know about resurrection because of Christ. And yet I said in the first service that I feel, I don't know whether it's compassion or passion, for the man or the woman who ignores Christ, the one who rejects the Son of God, right? If you're rejecting the Son of God and rejecting Christ, what has he got at the resurrection? What have you got? What is there for you? In Genesis 3, the first Adam lost life. I think that's something. He lost life. But to the second Adam, he gives it back to us. He gives life back if we will only receive it. The requirement is that you must want the life of God. The gift of God is eternal life. It's all about life. It's not about religion. It's about life. And to have his life, and all we have to do is take it. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me shall never die. It's yours. It's ours. We didn't earn it. We didn't do anything to deserve it, that's for certain. But it's ours. Now, what did we do? What did we do to receive eternal life? We said, I'll take it. There was no qualification. Lord, I believe and I receive. And you can enter into life. Boy, this is the best. This is so wonderful. So the two men, one brought death. Thank you, Adam. You know, thank you, Adam. I probably still have brown hair. It wasn't for you. And the other brought life. Brought life. If it, you know, the power of it, the joy of it, oh, the wonder of it, all we can say is all the pain and all the sickness and all the suffering. And when you read your newspaper and you say, what's happening? Well, sin is abounding. Iniquity will increase in the last age. Right? We know that. We know that's going to happen. And it's happening right now. But all of the pain and all of the suffering and all the sickness and all the deaths and all the cancers and all the other things that go wrong, they came by the first Adam. That's how they came. And you have to view your world that way. I know of a church that had some pretty good potential, but it went crazy and everybody stabbed each other in the back and there was a lot of anger and bitterness. And I remember the pastor who tried to start the church, they asked him, he says, what did you learn from that devastating church plant? And he says, this is what I learned. Never underestimate the effects of the fall. Never underestimate the effects of the fall. Remember, he said, I never dreamed there could be such animosity against me. He said, I never dreamed that I could be stabbed in the back by an associate. He said, I never dreamed it. It was the farthest. I never thought that that was in people, but it was. And that's a lesson for us today as well, never underestimate what sin has done and what sin can do. Why do churches go crazy? Because of sin. It's not doctrine. Very seldom doctrine. It's because of self-will. It's because of power. It's because of pride. There's all kinds of things. But ultimately, it's because disobedience brings sin, and sin destroys and brings death upon the world and upon us and upon marriages and everything else. It just does. So, the second Adam came, I'm grateful for this, to bear away our griefs and our sorrows. So now when the first Adam had done this, had sinned and brought death upon the world, he also brought a curse upon it. There is a curse upon this world, and it hasn't been lifted fully just yet. I wrote here, Adam ran away when he was confronted, and he hid in the bushes. And when the second man came, Christ, came to take his place, they said, whom seek ye? And they said, this is New Testament, they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he answered, here I am. Isn't it interesting? The first Adam is hiding. The second Adam is presenting himself as the Savior of the world. There is a contrast. How we thank the Lord for that. Through the obedience of one, many shall be made alive. And I've read from 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 45. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. Now there's a difference between a living being and a life-giving spirit. He was able to produce children, but he was not able to raise the dead. That's the difference. The first Adam was made a living soul. He had life of a certain nature. but he could not impact life to a dead body. He was made a living soul, and he could have lived forever if he had not sinned. But the second Adam, Jesus, was made a life-giving spirit. Therefore, he could raise others from the dead. And all he had to do was to speak to a dead body, and it would live. He had a different life in him. Matter of fact, I heard somebody preach on this, that when Lazarus had died, that Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." They said if he wouldn't have mentioned his name, he would have emptied every graveyard in the world. Because that's all he had to do. He said, "Lazarus, bam," and dead people raise. So now, the first Adam was of the earth, earthly. He's the man from earth. The second man is the Lord from heaven. I like even saying it, the Lord from heaven. The first man, Adam, was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. And as was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. So just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. And again, I'm just reading what I wrote here. But the first Adam looked upon the tree in Eden and plucked the fruit and fell. The second Adam was nailed to the tree. One took the fruit from the tree. One was nailed to the tree. And there's again the contrast of our lovely, lovely Lord. Cursed is everyone who is nailed to the tree. The first Adam brought a curse. When Jesus came, far as the earth is found, remember that Christmas hymn we've been singing about for the last 2 months? The curse is now being lifted. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm glad that Jesus became a curse for me, that the curse now is off me. I'm not under a curse. And if you know Christ, you're not under a curse either, as Galatians chapter 3, verse 14 tells us. And I'm thinking that in the evening of life, how wonderful that all of us will shuffle off this old Adam soil. And where will we be? As we shuffle off this life, we will be with the Son of God. We will be with the Son of God. How wonderful is that? There's nothing sad about death to a person that's in Christ Jesus. Right? Even as this funeral yesterday, I would say that 99.99 were probably Christians. We were praising the Lord, and there was a loud praise, and it was really beautiful. People praising the Lord at a funeral. But they didn't see a reason to be sad because he's with Jesus. Right? He's with Jesus, and he's with the Son of God, and he's shuffled off from this Adamic soil. And where does he go? To be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing sad about that. Remember that. Remember that. If our loved ones know the Lord, oh my goodness, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. All we have to do is to turn our sins over to him who bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And I wrote some things down just here this morning as I was preparing for this. But listen to this. Paul taught that the human race consisted of two groups, those who were in Adam and those that were in Christ. The last Adam, or the second man, by disobedience plunged this world into the slavery of sin. Jesus, by obedience, brought this world back to himself. Because of what the first Adam did, we need to be saved. Because of what Jesus did, we may be saved. In order to be saved, we must be in the last Adam. There is what we have, the last Adam. And all we have to do is to turn our sins over to him who bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And that leads us, in my mind, to the question was, what happens? What has Christ got that Adam never had? Colossians 3 and 3, it says, our life hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3 and 3. God never promised Adam heaven. That was never a promise. When Adam was driven out of Eden, all he lost was an earthly garden. God never promised Adam heaven. He was not a fallen man. He was an earthly man. So God gave him Eden. And my question is, what do we get if we're of the second Adam? He puts us into a higher place than we've ever been. Whereas before, we were in the garden, Adam was in the garden, and the enemy had access to him night and day. Now we are placed in Christ, our life hidden with Christ in God. It's a whole nother level where the devil can have no say over your life, no touch in your life. Say, Lord, I thank you that my life is hidden with Christ in God. Hallelujah. How wonderful. Talk about an exalted position. Where is Jesus? At the right hand of the Father right now. Where am I? I'm positioned there with him. A life hidden with Christ in God. And so now we have more in the second Adam than we lost in the first Adam. That's for sure. God asked the first Adam, where art thou? You remember that in the garden? Where art thou? And Adam went and hid away. He was hiding. And when he asked the second Adam, where art thou? Where was he? He was at the right hand of God. And to Adam, he asks, what have you done? He answers, I have sinned. Remember that? The first Adam, I have sinned. The second Adam said, I have glorified thee forever. I have glorified thee forever. That's what he came to do on this earth. We've been redeemed, and we belong to the new man. I read somewhere, some of you who are studious on these things, you can maybe check on this. I read somewhere that where you seldom would ever hear a sermon on the first or second Adam, somebody's train is going. we'll hold the train for you. That the early church, the key component of their evangelism was the first and second Adam. That was the presentation that was forever given, and that could be true. But we belong to the new man. So the question is, and it's a good one, it's a very good, on the basis of Adam's disobedience, I'm reckoned a sinner. That's just the truth, isn't it? On the basis of Adam's disobedience, I am reckoned a sinner. But on the basis of Christ's obedience, I am declared a righteous man. Not because I'm any different in that, but God declares that to me now, and I praise him for it. Our eternal identity, are you catching this? Our eternal identity rests upon which humanity we choose to belong to. And God looks on your heart today, and he knows whether you are in the first Adam or the second Adam. What is God's solution? What a dilemma, right? The man you made has ruined it and ruined everything. Now, what is the answer? God's solution? Another Adam. Another Adam. That's his answer. And so we can sum up the Bible. We can sum up the Bible in 5 seconds. I'll give you the world's shortest overview. Are you ready? Sum up the Bible in 5 seconds. Here it is. It is the story of two men and their effect on mankind. The first man wrecked everything. The second man is fixing it. He's fixing it. There's only a few more, maybe days, hours, weeks, months, years, I don't know. But all of us have a sense that soon his feet will be on the Mount of Olives. It isn't all fixed yet. My heart has been fixed. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for my new identity. I thank that I'm hidden with God in Christ. I'm grateful for all of those things. But it's not all done yet. There is, of course, a time, I believe, of tribulation coming on the earth. I'm not planning on being here for that. That's not where my kind of position is on it. But that's okay. Because here's the scoop on this thing. Is that Jesus is coming back to crush Satan under his feet. The first part's already been done, but he's coming to the second part. And then God's plan to restore the earth and to restore Israel and to restore the whole world. See, the whole world right now is rocking and reeling and rolling. We wonder what new depravity could we come up with, right? The filth and the pain and the, we were just talking about before the service there, about the trafficking of innocent women being children and little boys and little girls and being brought into Canada even and trafficking it through that. Now, what do you make of that? Well, that's our world. And the Lord is coming to give us a perfect world. He will do that. He started the process with redemption. He started the process by declaring that we would either be in Adam or in the last Adam, which is Christ. And he brings this personal salvation that everybody here, you can, if you were here today and you say, well, I don't know if I know Jesus or not. I believe that he was here and he was a good man and his teachings were good. I don't really know. You need to know. It's decision time. I have had the last couple of days, I had it for the first service, a real burden on my heart, an urgency. Don't put off this thing of accepting Christ. You have an opportunity. It's a glorious opportunity. He that believes in me shall never die. You need to put your personal belief in Christ. You need to receive Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. And here's an opportunity. I remember when I gave my heart to the Lord, in those days they asked for a hand. I don't know whether that was, and I was too nervous to put my hand up. I just was shy, and so I couldn't hardly put my hand up. And the pastor of the church came down the aisle as we were just dismissing, and people were shaking hands, and he said to me, he said, Owen, it's nice to have you here. He said, have you received Jesus as your Savior? Oh, what a question. He's really asking, Owen, what realm would you like to live in? The old Adam? Or would you like to receive eternal life? You know, I remember I started to weep, and he led me to the Lord. Simple, simple thing. But I went to that meeting in Adam, and I left that meeting with another one, the last Adam who will ever be. And my worlds were changed. I had gone to the meeting in that atmosphere of not even knowing why the world existed and then going home knowing exactly why the world existed and knew that so many people in my town did not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. As you brush shoulders with people this week, and you will be, right? You're at the coffee shop, you're at the garage, you're here, you're there, you're talking to people. Will you be conscious and say, I wonder what realm they're in? I wonder if they're still under the curse of Adam or whether they've moved to knowing Jesus. I find I don't want to become a raving lunatic and everybody avoids me. Because that doesn't gain many points either, does it? On the other hand, there's such a desire in my heart to say, you know, could I spare just a couple of minutes of your time? I'd like to tell you about a real deal maker here. I said, the Lord is prepared. If you just receive this new life, you will never die. Wow. Wouldn't that be great if we had an opportunity to do that today with somebody? And the person said, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, if you'd like to live forever, you can receive God's only Son and be saved. It's a wonderful, blessed, beautiful thing. I'm glad that the Lord is fixing it. One man wrecked it. One man brought untold misery upon the earth, and it's increasing. The iniquity is abounding. I don't think you have to be too smart to see that, right? Too bright to see that. That's what the world is unfolding with greater wickedness, perversions, and weird murders, and murders of little children with no motive. I can see at one time a tribe might have fought against a tribe. Right? I can see how two men fighting over some woman. Right? That happens, right? But have you ever seen it where little children would be singled out, innocent little children? Of what is that? Oh, it's mental. We need to put more. Yeah. We know that. That doesn't explain it at all. Because the next day or 2 days later, somebody decides they're going to shoot firemen. See, you will go insane trying to figure that out apart from sin. Right? Where sin abounds, though, praise God, I can say this, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And we thank God for that it's not hopeless and helpless. We see that Jesus has begun part one of the restoration process. He's come to fix it. And the day will come when he confronts Satan and he'll be under his feet. And the kingdom will be handed over to the Father. Oh, there's glorious things, folks. Do not be in despair over this, but to be aware this is exactly what the Bible said, that in this fallen world, there is much sadness and much sickness and things we don't understand, right? We just don't understand why God would allow it. We don't understand it, and we don't even pretend to understand. I just say it's because of the fall. It's because of a choice somebody made in a garden. And that plunged our world into absolute darkness. Absolute darkness. And we live with it. But waiting, it's like today. I noticed that the sun is, there's more sunlight now than there was at Christmas time. Have you noticed that? That it's getting a bit lighter already. And we say, oh, that's so wonderful. Pretty soon it won't be dark. And I say this, pretty soon it won't be dark at all. And one of these days, Christ will come on that white horse with all the saints with him. And we'll say, wow. Even the funeral yesterday, everybody was thinking about how Wayne had what he'd be doing right there. And there was lots of praise and worship, and so we thought he'd probably be doing a lot of that. And it was just, as we talked about it, I walked home thinking, it's good to be at a funeral because you see the end result. And the pastor there, or the visiting speaker there, gave a little invitation to say, if anybody was here or didn't know the Lord, today was the day to invite him into your heart. And if the question is, if you haven't, why haven't you? Because the offer is so. The resurrection, not anybody else, the second man says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die. Oh, man. So if I hear of Simon's demise, they said, Simon died. I say, no, he didn't. He just shook off his body. Isn't that it? For all of us? Say, Owen died. Did you hear that? Owen died. Did he? I told him to lay off that coffee. Say, but you say, no, he's not dead. He's more alive than he's ever been. Stand together. I'd like to give an invitational prayer. And if you're here, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, that you've been living with Adam. Oh, you want to get away from Adam. He's trouble because he made wrong choices. Here's a choice you can make. You can receive the Lord as your Savior right here today. And I don't believe in manipulation or control, so I'm just going to pray a prayer. You can make that prayer your own. But you never know who might pass from death to life because the Spirit is already speaking to you, and you already know that. And we love you, and we're glad you're here. And I hope you'll come many, 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 many times. But that we would do you an injustice if we didn't give an opportunity. How many are with me? If we don't give an invitation to receive the Lord, we do an injustice to you. Because this eternal life you need. And without Christ, you'll never have it. We will live forever because of Christ. No other reason. So you might want to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, just in your heart. Heavenly Father, I'm bankrupt. I cannot save myself. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for all the sins I've ever done, past, present, and future. I open my heart to you, Lord Jesus, and I ask you to be my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me. I receive you today. I ask you to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I would belong to you forever, forever. I turn away from all that I know to be wrong, and I ask you to receive me as your child. I need you, Lord Jesus. I need resurrection life. So I receive the life of God, eternal life. I receive eternal life into my heart. It's my desire, dear Lord, to live for you. Thank you for loving me and saving me. I praise you forever, and I want to live for you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes, amen. You know, when we're going to dismiss in just a second here, and invite you to come for the coffee if you can on the patio, but I'm just going to stand over here for a few minutes, and if you say, you know, and I think I prayed that prayer for the very first time, I'll be over the moon, because that would be just wonderful if that had happened. My point is, tell somebody about it. Say, I received the Lord this morning at church. Oh, good. It's good. It's good to say something. Good to testify. But I'll be standing over there for you a few minutes, and we'd ask the prayer people to come and be over there if you would, if you're one of the prayer people. And if you need prayer here today, I don't mean prayer to receive the Lord, but if you need prayer in your life, something you're facing this week, just come and meet us there, and we'll pray with you. That's why we're here. We'll pray with you and for you and over you and around you and all the other ways that we can. And meanwhile, come out and join us for coffee if you could. God bless you. Thanks for being here today.